So, here we are, Resurrection Sunday. Some of us have done this every year for as long as we can remember. For some, this is the only day a year when we come into this room. And yes, once again, the pastor's preaching on the resurrection of Christ. He needs new material. Some here this morning were invited by friends. Some came with family. Some showed up perhaps by accident and are not sure why they are here. There may be those who are here this morning because they thought this was the church that was giving out the prizes. And you got close. It's just a few blocks away from here. But we're glad you're here nonetheless. Easter. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus wants to live in us and with us forever. So what now? What now? I had a beautiful sermon for Easter morning that I had planned. You need to come next Sunday to hear it. Because on this past Friday, which was Good Friday, after we had the dress rehearsal Thursday night for this, the Lord spoke some things to me, and I was troubled in my heart, and so I changed some things. Waking up this morning to the news coming out of Sri Lanka just confirmed what the Lord was saying to me as Christians there gathered to worship and then experienced violence in those places. It's Easter. We know that something deep inside of us should jump when we hear about the resurrection of Christ. We sense that there should be something that moves us on some level when we hear the story of the crucifixion and then the resurrection. Those of us who have been followers of Christ for some time want our souls to be shaken because He is risen. But what we feel is tired. I've been up since 4 this morning. It's possible you feel distracted. Your stomach may be growling. What you feel perhaps is numb or empty, maybe even dead. And we've heard the Easter story so much that we've become numb to its life-changing potential. We wish the message of Jesus' resurrection could change us. Really change us so that we could live this new life, this abundant life, this eternal life in Christ. We want that, don't we? We want to live the abundant eternal life of Christ with living in the same power that raised Jesus up from the grave. Unfortunately, we know that abundant and Christ-like are not words that describe the lives we're living. And we wonder, have we missed something? Is this as good as it's ever going to get? And some may feel deceived, wondering if this is all there is. You know, what is the big deal about the resurrection of Jesus? And I tell you, I encounter many people around here who are good at faking it rather than being honest about any doubts they have. And we act like we are living in the power of the resurrection, but we are not, I assure you. And we can put on the mask and use the right lingo, but there is no power in any of this. And some have faked it for so long and have become so good at faking it that they have faked themselves and they are believing that they are actually living the new life of Christ. They've reached the point where they are no longer able to tell the difference between what is fake and what is real. Unfortunately, our lives reveal the truth. Here's what I think the truth is. The truth is that many of us have more passion for politics and social issues than for the people Jesus died to save. I think we have more concern for the busy schedule and commitments of our families than we are about being committed to the kingdom Jesus came to establish. And I think we are more committed to providing for our own material and financial comfort than we are providing for the mission that Jesus left for us to accomplish before He returns. And we wear ourselves out living what amounts to mundane, ordinary, self-centered lives while faking a Christian commitment, and we can't help but wonder, have we missed something somewhere? So here we are. It's Easter. The music is over. The choir has to sit in the choir loft because you didn't save them a seat next to you. We sit here now patiently waiting for the pastor to stop talking so we can move on to our plans for the day with family and friends, getting a nap in, eating ham or whatever. What can the resurrection of Jesus Christ possibly mean to you today? Does it really have the power to change lives? And if so, why do so many lives remain unchanged? Jesus died. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus wants to live in us and with us forever. So what do we do now? Let me suggest the answer is found in a couple of places. First, in Galatians 2:20, where Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And what I want you to understand is that Paul's experience with Jesus Christ had so changed him that he could speak of his new life the way that Jesus described it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It was as if Paul had died and then had been born again as a new person. And I want that to settle in on you today because there's evidently people here who need to hear it. There can be no joyous resurrection to new life without first experiencing the sober reality of dying to myself. Let me say it this way. There can be no abundant new life in Christ, no power of the resurrection for you until you have died to yourself. And what I want to tell you is that it's all true. I believe the resurrection. New life, having your life transformed, having an abundant life, having an eternal life, all of it's true, but it is not true for you unless there's been a death first. You understand that, right? You can't be raised to new life in Christ if you're still living your old life in Christ. Hello. Maybe the most honest thing I can do today is admit that the life I'm living is not the new resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It's simply the same old life I've always had with some Christian trappings. And that, my friend, is not why we're here today. They pay me well here. One of the things they don't pay me to do is to make you feel good about your self-centered, sinful life. And all the ways you try to paint it up as Christian, when it's not. It's not. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Before there could be a resurrection day for Paul, there had to be a crucifixion. And before Jesus could be raised to new life, he had to die. Paul knew the same thing had to happen to him. The old Paul had to die and be raised to new life in Christ. He had to crucify himself. So allow me to suggest that the reason so many of us are not living new, abundant, Christ-like lives is because we've not died to ourselves. Not yet. Not completely. There's parts of our old selves that are holding on tenaciously to life. Good Friday comes before Easter Sunday. Maybe what you need most this morning is not to go celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Maybe what you need is a good funeral first. So what does it mean to be crucified with Christ and to die to ourselves so that Christ can live in us? If you have your Bible, I'm going to read for a moment in Romans chapter 6. Here's what I think being crucified with Christ and dying to ourselves can mean. It means that two roads diverge in your life, and you have a choice to make. and this divergence, this point of decision happens for you every day, throughout the day. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a few minutes to make this kind of choice. So here's the choice. I can go down that familiar path, that well-worn path of a self-centered life apart from Christ, a life filled with all of the things I want, living the way that I want, insisting that the world conform to my expectations in every way, or I can take the other path that leads to the cross and turn away from my sin and self-centeredness and allow Christ to create new life within me. I choose how I'm going to live. The choice is mine. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What I think the Bible is telling us, when we have this choice, when those two roads diverge, and I have to decide which way to go. The Bible is pleading with us, choose life. Oh, for crying out loud, what more does God have to do for you? Choose life. Choose to live to God. Make that decision every moment of every day. You have a choice. Unfortunately, what I see is that too many of us want Easter on our own terms. We want an easy way, where we can have new life in Christ and still enjoy the self-centered life we want to live. No death, no change, no work, no Good Friday, no crucifixion, just life. Woo! And the Bible says emphatically no to that. To find real life, you must lose the life you are currently living. To live, you must die. To be made new in Christ, you must leave your old way of living behind. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Many, many years ago, before I came to Rockport, I was asked to go and visit a woman who was a friend of a church member. Her name was Carolyn. She had terminal pancreatic cancer. She was eaten up with it. She had withered away to nothing. She was bedridden. She was in severe pain. And I've never met a more angry woman in my life as she suffered there in the bed. And she wanted to have peace with God. She wanted to have peace about her own sin and her own situation. And she wanted to get some questions straight about eternity. And when I talked to her about being born again and about eternal life, one of the things I told her is that, Carolyn, you will experience peace, joy, and new life in heaven. But you can also experience those things right here, right now. But there is a part of you that is clinging to life and rebelling against the life God wants to give you in Christ Jesus. I said, you want what you want. And it's not fair to you that you're not getting what you want. And you are angry at God. And you refuse to submit to Him. And as long as you keep that rebellious and angry part of yourself alive, you will not experience new life in Christ. That part of you must die before you can really live. And she looked at me like nobody had ever had the nerve to talk to her like that before. And then she just broke down and cried. And she said, "You're right. I've been angry and scared because God didn't heal me. And I'm dying. And I realize I don't trust God with my destiny. I don't trust Him with my family, my friends, or with my life." And we prayed together. And she asked Jesus into her heart. And she asked for forgiveness. And I think for the first time in her life, she let go of those angry, self-centered parts of her existence. And I tell you that for about a week, Carolyn lived in the power of Jesus' resurrection, even as she lay there dying. And then the Lord set her free. So here we are. Easter. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus wants to live in and with you forever, starting right now. But for that to happen, your testimony has to be the same as Paul's. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. But remember, Jesus won't force Himself on you. The choice is yours. The time to make it has arrived. Are you ready? When Jesus calls us to follow Him, there is new eternal life. There is abundant life. All of it is true. But first, He calls us to the cross so that He can then raise us to new life. When Jesus calls us to follow Him, we must respond. And I wonder how many here are not living the abundant life of Jesus Christ. Before you can live in the power of the resurrection, you must embrace the cross. So I want to invite you to do that this morning. Offer your life to Jesus Christ today. Nothing held back. No more games. No more hiding. No more excuses. Let go and offer it to Christ this day. And I wonder how many here have been clinging to life, your old self-centered life of sin, and you hear the voice of the Lord calling you to the cross. Remember, before you can really live, you must die. There is new life. Abundant, eternal life in Christ. But it involves a resurrection, which means first, there must be a death. A new, resurrected life is possible for you today. But before you can be born anew, you must first die to yourself. So again, today I invite you to offer your life to Christ. Honestly, no reservations. And ask Him today to make you new through the power of His resurrection. I'm going to pray. Marcy's going to come and lead us in a hymn of response. While we're singing is where perhaps you need to hold funeral services for yourself today. It could be that the best thing you can do is come and kneel on the altar and offer your life to Him there. I'll be standing down front. If you wanted to come and pray with me, I'd love to talk to you. When the service is over, I plan on being around. I'd love to visit with you about what God has said to you today. There's two paths urging. The time to choose has come. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would not be guilty of overlooking the gospel story in its entirety. And we want to rush to the good news of the resurrection and new life and all that is spring and beautiful and fun. I pray, Lord, we would never forget the cross. And I want to live new life. I want to be raised to the abundant life of Jesus Christ, a life that will never end. But I believe, Lord, that first, before I can be resurrected, I must die to myself. And there's parts of myself that fight for life relentlessly. And I've been playing games and indulging those things and giving others the run around and acting like everything is fine when perhaps everything is not. So today, Lord, in my heart, in my life, and in the lives of all of those gathered here, may truth hold sway this day. And for all of those who need it, may this be a day of dying and then a day of being raised to new life. May the power of your resurrection bring us to life. May your will be done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.